Hey, everybody. Once again, thank you for listening to A Prairie Punkhouse Companion. This is going to be a little bit different. We don't generally issue trigger warnings before our episodes, but we are going to make an exception in this case due to the nature of this episode, which the subject matter is homies who have passed. There is discussions of self-harm and suicide in this episode, and even just by using the word suicide, I'm sure this is going to get flagged. So if you think that's something that is going to trigger you, or if you think it's something that you can't handle, I do urge you not to listen to this episode. And if you do feel the need for help, please call the number 988. It is a suicide helpline here in the United States. If you live in other countries, I'm sure many other countries also have helplines or places you can reach out. And I urge you to search for that using whatever your preferred search engine is. And please do not self-harm. Please reach out for help. Reach out to an old friend if you need to. Reach out to a professional. Reach out to any helpline. But yes, this episode does discuss self-harm and suicide. So if you feel that that's something that you can't listen to, then I do urge you not to listen to this episode. Thank you.
You're listening to A Prairie Punk House Companion right here on the Prairie Punk Press Network.
The views expressed by any host or any guest on the Prairie Punk House Companion are the personal views or opinions of the people who express them and do not reflect the views or opinions of anyone else on the show or any company, employer, or any other organization that the individual expressing them has or will affiliate with in the past, present, or future. Hi everybody, you're listening to A Prairie Punk House Companion. We are now on episode 16. My name is Neckbone.
Hi, I'm Jerbear, and I just got home from vacation. I'm tired.
That's awesome. You sound very tired. Yeah. I also sound tired.
It was a long week.
Yeah. Yeah. You said you were camping?
Yeah, it was really relaxing. It was good. Most of the time I sat by a fire and read. Mm-hmm. I finished two novels while I was out there. Mm-hmm. It was pretty good.
Nice.
It was a relaxing time.
Nice.
Hanging out with the kids, hanging out with the in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
That's cool. I've been wanting to go camping for a while. My wife hates camping, though, because her family is from a third world country, and she makes fun of us here in the first world, saying that we rich people like to go pretend like we're poor people for a weekend. And I'm like, yeah, I guess.
To be clear, we were in a cabin
by
a lake. So it wasn't like camping. We were in a cabin with amenities and things like that. But
yeah. No, I used to do it. I would just dig like a latrine and set up a tent just kind of wherever I got tired of driving. That's how I used to do it when I drive cross country randomly in a beat up old Hyundai XL. So that was real camping. Now my wife would do the cabin thing. If there's running water, she would do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. There's showers, you know, there's a whole kitchen refrigerator. I think there was a dishwasher, even we didn't use it.
Jesus Christ.
I think there was a dishwasher there.
Most places I've lived and actually like paid full rent for didn't have fucking dishwashers. That's pretty fancy.
I didn't have a dishwasher until I got married and moved into our second house.
I didn't have a dishwasher until last week when we finally got our first dishwasher installed doing our kitchen remodel. So at the tender young age of 46, I have my first dishwasher.
So we left to go camping on Monday, and on our way out there. So let's back up a little bit. This episode, we were supposed to have a guest on. It was going to be our friend Jason. And as I was going to our campsite, I saw a post on Instagram that said he passed away on Friday. So that kind of threw a wrench in our plans for this episode, because we were going to interview him about the Manhattan scene and his experience with that. He was our roommate at the Annex for a good portion of the time. How long did he live with us?
He lived there for a while.
6 months?
Yeah. At least. That was one of the brief times where he wasn't living in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And to be clear to everybody, we're talking about Manhattan, Kansas.
Right.
Not the city of New York.
Not Manhattan Island.
Right. For our three listeners on the East Coast, there's a Manhattan, Kansas, which is Kansas's other college town.
It's the Little Apple.
The Little Apple. But yeah, Jason was kind of a staple of the Manhattan punk scene. And yeah, we had the pleasure, mostly pleasure, sometimes hilarious displeasure of living with the annex. But yeah, I always enjoyed conversations with him and hanging out with him.
I first met him, I think it was probably 1998.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the Drop Dead show. At that place at the north side of South Park. I don't know. I get my directions all turned around in Lawrence. Yeah.
Yeah.
The north side of South Park. I think it's a music store now. They sell guitars or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
But Drop Dead played there, and I'm pretty sure that's when I met Jason. And somehow I misheard what he was saying or what somebody was saying. And I thought somebody said that he was the singer for Black Label, which was a Lawrence band, like a crust-punk band from Lawrence. They had broken up by the time this was happening. And he went along with it for like 2 or 3 hours. Just had me convinced that he was a singer for Black Label because I didn't know shit. And then finally he just like busted up laughing and called me a dumbass. And, we were friends at that point. It was great.
Yeah.
You know, and then by the time I moved up there, you know, we'd spent a decent amount of time together since then. And then, yeah, he moved in with us and was a really good friend. He was there for the drive-by. What else was he there for? I mean, he was there for all the raw sewage in the basement. I think he basically lived with us until we moved out, and then he went to the pirate house.
Yeah.
So he was one of the people. So, you know, I started taking off my punk rock uniform around that time and started wearing just like blue jeans and t-shirts and not really wearing the punk rock uniform as was the style at the time.
Right.
And, you know, I kind of got some shit from some people just poking fun at me or whatever. And, you know, he was one of them who would give me shit about looking like a hipster or whatever. But he also was like, you know, I know I give you a lot of shit for looking like a hipster, but I know you're real. Like, you're real and you're still punk rock no matter what you dress like.
Yeah.
He's like, I know what you're about. You can't pretend you're not punk rock.
Yeah, he would give me shit too because I would buy all of my clothes. Pretty much everything I owned was from the thrift store. So I had some really random shit that I would wear. Even some of the pictures I sent you, I know, like I look at some of those old t-shirts I had, and I'm like, where the fuck did I get? Like I had like an orange Tiger Scout fucking shirt and like, like a Bo Jackson t-shirt from the Kansas City Royals. It was like covered in paint. Somebody used it like as their old paint shirt. And I was like, fuck, 10 cents at the thrift store. Don't mind if I do. Like that's just kind of like how I dressed. And I take things very literally. Like when somebody says something to me, I don't always understand that they might be messing with me or context sometimes. And he was just, he looked at me once and he was like, where the fuck did you get your wardrobe from? The thrift store? And I was like, yeah. And I didn't understand that. Like he was trying to fuck with me. I thought he was just asking like serious point blank questions and I was just answering them. And I was like, oh, he seems like a nice gentleman.
Where'd you meet him?
I met him.
How did you meet him?
I met him through you. And I don't remember when I met him. I already knew him when he came to the annex. So I don't remember where specifically I met him before that. I feel like I might have met him in Kansas City. He must have come to Kansas City for something.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he came to some shows and came to the Boston Apartments. I'm pretty sure.
In fact, actually, maybe you didn't introduce me to him. Maybe BJ and Sarah introduced me to him.
That could have been it.
Now that I think about it.
Yeah, I mean, they were friends with him, too.
Yeah.
We went to Manhattan a couple times to hang out with him before he moved to Lawrence.
Yeah.
So that could be it, too.
Yeah. I remember going to Manhattan. I think I went with BJ to Manhattan to hang out with him. And we went to some bar, and there was just a fuck ton of... There was just so many rednecks in there. It was wild.
Well, it is Manhattan.
Yeah.
So. I'm pretty. I would get. Was it downstairs?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Annie Mae's.
Yeah.
So that was.
Yeah.
Like it was. That was like. That's like the replay of Manhattan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It was a mix of like college students, punks, and rednecks, all in the same bar. None of them fighting. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, how is this fragile piece maintained? It's just like, all right, I need to remember not to like elbow any rednecks accidentally when I'm like walking past.
Yeah. Alex made a post on his Facebook about how Jason made the best drunken grilled cheese in the middle of the night. And I was like, yeah, but he's not so good at making frozen pizzas drunk in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many times his roommates would come home and find him passed out on the kitchen floor. Mm-hmm. With the oven open and a pizza in it.
Yeah.
Burnt.
Yeah, hockey puck pizza. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It happened at the Annex.
Yep.
It happened at the Pirate House.
I know it happened at the Annex because I had to pull that fucking thing out of the oven and throw it into the yard. Which is, I think I did that more than once. Turn the oven off and throw the pizza into the yard and just call it a day. You're like, all right, fuck it.
And we already talked about the drive-by.
Yeah.
That happened. We were draining the keg from the party the night before. And
yeah.
Yeah. You, Jason, and I were sitting on the porch. And
yeah.
Yeah. Drive by.
Yeah.
Fun. Good times.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was really good about, at least with me, I don't know when the last time you talked to him was, but he would message me at least once a month and say what's up and keep in touch. And yeah, he was, you know, talking about how he was getting a laptop so he could be a guest on the podcast. He asked me about it a week ago.
Yeah.
Maybe a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, how we were planning on having him on for this episode. Because I was like, oh, we just got done with this one.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, we want to have you on. So let's plan for that.
He would have been on with us tonight. I was really looking forward to talking with him again because he must have found me recently on Facebook, so I haven't talked to him in it had to have been 15 years probably.
Yeah,
it's been a long time. Which is about how long ago I left Kansas in 2007. How many years ago is that? I can't do math.
That is
17 years ago. Jesus. Okay, so that was probably about the last time I saw him was right after I graduated from KU. So it's been a while, and he recently found me, like within the last month, found me on Facebook and friended me, and I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. Like, and
yeah,
then you said he wanted to come on the podcast, and I was really excited to but before we actually, from what we release in the podcast, we bullshit for anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour sometimes before we actually start the actual releasable part of the podcast. And I was looking forward to that with him. I was looking forward to just being like, let's spend like an hour just bullshitting with him and like catching up. And I still regret not reaching out to him sooner because you never know how much time you have to reconnect with somebody. Because we hadn't talked in 15 years, but that was just as much on me as anyone else. I mean, I could reach out at any fucking point. And
staying in contact is hard. Mm-hmm. And then, something like this happens. I'm just like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
Then you start reaching out to random people you haven't talked to in a while. Like, hey, how you doing? It's been a while.
Yeah. His celebration of life is going to be at Kiowa Campgrounds on Sunday, September 22nd. So I'm going there. I think Andy Guy Wyatt said she was going to go.
Yeah.
Which will be cool. to see her. I don't know. There's quite a few people that I think that are going. So,
mm-hmm. I regret deeply that I'm not able to go. It is, yeah, it's just, I'm taking a trip the week before that, a required trip the week before that. And I can't get all the way down there 2 weeks in a row. Cause I live up in Chicago. It's not close.
So this episode, we decided we're going to talk about all our friends that we've lost. Mm-hmm. So,
there are many. I think you have more than I do.
Yeah, there's
some we share, some overlap.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think that you know some of these people.
Yeah,
just maybe don't remember.
Right.
Exactly.
A lot of them on your list, I knew, like, and I'd met. I know who they were, and mm-hmm. I met them. But I wouldn't be as arrogant to say that, you know, that they were my friend and that I'm feeling that loss. You know,
yeah,
but I knew who they were, and some of them kind of you kind of start hanging out with after you got back to Wichita, and I was already off doing whatever the fuck I was doing. He may not be first chronologically. But he is definitely somebody who I think of a lot still when I watch movies, because the mm-hmm. whole way that I watch movies changed because of him. And it was our friend Nathan Gilson.
Oh, yeah.
He was a big, big movie junkie. And when I say big movie junkie, I don't mean that he watched all the art house flicks. He did. But I mean, he watched everything. He watched trash movies, popular movies, mm-hmm. art house flicks. He didn't give a fuck. Like, he'd mm-hmm. watch.
Yeah.
He just consumed everything, books, movies, music, just
video games,
constantly consuming all the whole reason I got my first DVD player was because of him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I was over at his house in Wichita when he was still there. Mm-hmm. I think we might have been up in Kansas City already, but he was still in Wichita.
Mm-hmm. Was he living with Aaron and Pat?
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
And
in the Delano-ish area.
Yep. That's the house. Uh-huh.
Yeah. They had so many movies there.
So many fucking movies. And DVD. And I had never seen a DVD player before. And he popped it in. He popped in a DVD. And I remember us talking about, because it was the first time I'd seen, or the first time I can remember seeing, cinema ratio on mm-hmm. a TV screen. And this was still when we had shitty deep back TVs too. So
right. We cathode tube TVs.
And he said, he was like, no, most DVDs have this. They don't change the aspect ratio like they do on VHS. And so when I got back to Kansas City, I was like, fuck, I need to get a DVD player like right now with my, $5 an hour job.
Fuck. I forgot. Minimum wage was so fucking low.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't gotten much higher since then. Low, right? It's only $2 more than that.
$7.25,
yeah. It was $5.25 back then, yeah.
That fucking sucks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Nathan, at that house, whenever I would come to town, sometimes I would stay there and they'd all go to sleep and I would just stay up and watch movies.
Mm-hmm.
He was so excited about Fight Club.
Yeah.
And showed me Fight Club, and he was like, no, you gotta pay attention. He's like, look at the cigarette hole, look at this. Just
mm-hmm.
talked so much about it. And like, yeah, I really like his excitement for movies got me excited about movies. I've always loved movies, but like his passion for it like gave me more of like a critical eye, and mm-hmm. I mean made me care more about movies as art rather than just entertainment.
Yeah.
We used to, the Fannings and him and Amy,
mm-hmm.
His girlfriend at the time, we would go to, it's Center for the Arts now. I don't remember what it was called then, but they would play like art house movies. Mm-hmm. It's over by Capon a little bit. It's on Central.
Oh, wow. That's pretty far out there.
But we saw handful of movies out there. We went to see Pi with him.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like me and him and one or both of the Fannings and like a shit ton of math teachers. It was really funny. That movie fucked me up in like the best way. I loved it so much. And
yeah.
Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah.
And Nathan died in December 2002 of an aneurysm.
Yeah.
He was really getting his life together and was doing a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
He was volunteering, I think, at like a pre-K center, and he fucking collapsed in class of an aneurysm. And yeah, they could have kept him on life support, but there was nothing there.
Right. So he was essentially brain dead.
Yeah.
From what I was told.
Yeah. Nobody could have done anything about it. There was no way anybody could know. There was no way anybody could do anything about it. It's just one of those fucking things that happened.
He has kind of the unique distinction of all the people on our list, maybe not the only one, but certainly the only one on my list, who died from something that was completely unavoidable, something that was not caused by living the lifestyle. Something
he led back then.
Right. Something that would have happened to him no matter what lifestyle he'd been living.
Yeah. So speaking of Nathan, that brings in the one on my list who actually came before Nathan, which is Stewie. That was his last name. It's Brian Stewie. And he and Nathan actually worked together to put on quite a few shows in Wichita back in the day. They brought the Get Up Kids to the Eaton Hotel. They put on a shit ton of ska shows that happened at Crown Bingo Arena and stuff like that. Nathan and Stewie worked really close together on doing that stuff. And Stewie he was born with some heart condition. I don't know. I don't remember what it was, but I think something like only half of his heart worked or something like that. I don't know. And he wasn't supposed to live as long as he did. I think that he set the record for living the longest with that particular heart condition. He was super cool. And before we left for Kansas City, Stewie was hanging out at my apartment quite a bit. He was hanging out with us in the Fannings quite a bit. He would make fun of my shitty grindcore records and the names of grindcore bands. It was very funny. He really hated the name Mindrot, which is some members of Dystopia who had a death metal band called Mindrot also. He really liked Weezer. He was a huge Weezer fan. And he was just a super nice guy. And he always told the story about this guy that he worked with. I don't remember if it was Kentucky, some fast food restaurant. I don't remember what. But this guy would get so pissed and would tell Stewie that he was going to destroy him. He's like, I will destroy you. Stewie was always making jokes about destroying people because of that guy that he worked with. He was just a sweetheart of a guy. He in December 1999, he was at his house hanging out with friends, and one of them looked over and Stewie was just gone. It just happened that quick. It sucked. It was really, 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 really sad.
Yeah.
But, you know, he also lived way longer than he was supposed to and had a very happy and fulfilling life for as short as it was. He had great friends. He did a lot for the music scene in Wichita in the 90s. He was just a great guy. So that was the second one.
I remember when that happened because that was just like 6 months after we moved to Kansas City.
Yeah.
We were still fresh in Kansas City.
Nathan passed away 3 years and 3 days after Stewie.
Nathan, the movie I saw with Nathan was High Fidelity, which I think came out in 2000. So I was visiting Wichita for some reason, and he wouldn't shut up about this movie based on this book that he left called High Fidelity. Mm-hmm. And and he was like, you know, well, they changed the location from London to Chicago, but I'm just really excited about it. We went to go see it. And that is probably to this day, probably, I think it's on my top five list of movies I've seen the most times.
Yeah.
It has the most rewatch value. I'm not saying it's best movie of all time, mm-hmm. but it has some of the most rewatch value I've ever seen from a movie. And being that I live in Chicago now too, doesn't really hurt.
Yeah. I think I watched Mallrats with you more than I've watched any other movie.
Mallrats is on my list too. I've just seen it so many fucking times.
Nathan loved fucking Star Wars.
Yeah.
It was his shit. So when George Lucas fucked them all the originals up by adding in CGI and stuff, I'm pretty sure I went with Nathan to see Empire.
Mm-hmm.
When they did that one. And then when The Phantom Menace came out, we went with him to see that at the Warren West. We waited in line for a long ass time.
Mm-hmm.
And he may have had Jedi robes on. I don't remember.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hung out with Nathan a lot. Mm-hmm. At him and Amy's apartment that was right by Chandra's apartment there on First and Hillside.
Yep. I remember that apartment. Yeah.
We would go over there and watch movies all the time. It was a lot of fun. He was a sweetheart.
And they were just, they were chill people to hang out with. That's, I mean, mm-hmm. it's, you know, considering all like the, you know, bands that we went to see and, you know, shows that we saw and like drunken, debaucherous punk nights we saw, like you could go over to Nathan and Amy's and just watch a movie and just chill.
And chill. Yeah. And it was like, it was like the calm after the storm over there and kicking it. He wrote the lyrics to one of Uncle Scam's first songs.
That's right. Fuck. I completely forgot about that. Said in another episode. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was fun.
Yeah.
I still remember part of the lyrics.
What were those lyrics again?
I'm bigger and I'm badder and I'm madder than you. I'm higher and I'm drunker and I'm punker than you. Image replacing knowledge, replacing me, replacing you.
Yeah, I remember you talked about that in one of our first episodes, actually. It was like in one of the first three that we had.
So I think the next one that we both had a strong connection to would be Andrew Oliver.
Yes.
We talked about that.
Who also lived with us, sort of.
Well, he slept on our couch. He was homeless at the time, and we let him stay with us because he needed a place to stay. And he was a sweetheart. One of the things we didn't talk about when we talked about him in our episode about Kansas City. So Andrew was biracial. Part Native American, part Chinese, if I remember right, and, and black, and I don't know. Anyway, so he found out about a house full of bonehead neo-Nazi skinheads, he busted into their house with a 2x4 and beat the shit out of like 6 neo-Nazis with that fucking 2x4. Hardcore motherfucker. It was great. He was hilarious. He would play he would get my bass, like he would be so wasted that he couldn't speak. He could barely sit up, and he would take my bass, and he would just play the sickest fucking bass riffs. I think when he was that wasted, he was usually playing Steely Dan, and he would just play like perfect, just like noodling all over the place. One of the best bass players I've ever met.
I mean, he was an incredibly skilled musician, if I remember right, and correct me if I'm wrong. But didn't he have like a master's in music theory too?
I have no idea. Something like that? I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me.
He told me he did once.
I mean,
and I never questioned it.
Yeah.
But I don't know how true that is.
Yeah. He, when he, he would say "rut-row" all the time if something was not going his way or if something shady was going down. was hilarious. We met, he was panhandling on the island, and I think that, you know, I had dreads and patches, and he was like, hey, what's up? And we started hanging out, and that first time he came over, he freaked us out, because, like, at the time, he was, he was like a wild card. Like, we didn't know what to expect from him, because we didn't know him. It was the first time we met, and he came over, and he brought a handle of vodka and just started chugging it. And so I was like, all right, what's this guy going to fucking do next? Like,
right.
Just the uncertainty of what the situation was kind of freaky. Just wasn't sure. He was a fucking sweetheart and wound up being a really good friend and like a really loyal protector of all of us. Even like when he didn't need to be, he would like I came home with a black eye. Justin and I got into a little scuffle on his birthday and we wound up trading a couple punches and I had a black eye and like Andrew got fucking pissed. He's like, who fucking did that to you? I'm gonna beat the shit out of him. I was like, dude, it's cool. We're friends. Night got stupid. I wound up with a black eye. Everything's okay. He's like, all right.
One of my most vibrant memories of Andrew was him, for whatever reason, we had some dining room table. I don't know where the fuck we got it from.
It was yours. I don't know.
Oh, was it mine? We didn't have any chairs for it. I think it was just a table. Yeah. But I remember he had put a blanket over it and it made like a fort.
He just sat under it.
And was just, he was just under there with a boombox.
Listening
to the Flaming Lips. Oh, it was
the Flaming Lips?
Yeah.
I thought it was Modest Mouse.
And he was just,
fucking loved Modest Mouse.
It was, he was listening to Feeling Yourself Disintegrate, Flaming Lips. And he was, hammered, just fucking next level hammered. And he was just laying under there with the boombox right next to his head. And I lifted up the blanket and I was like, hey, man, you okay? And he just kind of looked at me and he said, this is my room now. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, this could be your room. And he just started crying and he was like, this song's so fucking beautiful, man. I was like, cool, man. Let me know if you need anything. Nice. And he just kind of stayed under the table for a while. Like, okay. Yeah.
But he finally tried to get sober from alcohol and locked himself in his aunt's bedroom. And his body went into shock from a withdrawal. And his body just shut down. And he passed away trying to get sober. Which is fucking bullshit.
Yeah, that was also in 2002, if I remember.
Yeah, correctly. It was like November,
earlier in
October,
the year.
Or November. Yeah. I was working at the record store when NDIY called me and told me. So the next one on my list, let's do the Lawrence kids. So the three of these people all lived at the hipster house that was just south of the Pirate House. So what do they call it? What do they call it? The White Belt House?
Yeah.
So the first,
I don't know if that was like an official name, but that's what it was called.
So the first person from that house to pass away was Kate Connolly. Kate Connolly looked like a prettier hipster Shelley Duvall. And she was in a band called An Old Surrender, and they played really kick-ass indie rock music. It was her and Charlie and Quinn and somebody else. I don't remember. But they all lived at that house, and she was a sweetheart. And I was super intimidated by her because she was like a super cool kid and was really quiet and shy, and I took that as being like
too cool for school.
So I didn't talk to her for a long time, and then we became friends, and I was like, oh, she's just really shy and she's super down to earth and chill, and she's a super sweet girl. And she married Doug McKinney and moved to Wichita, lived down here for a while, worked at the Vagabond.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just super sweet. Really good musician. Great style. Just fucking rad all the way around. She, her and Doug split up. She went back to, I think she went back to Lawrence for a little while. And then she went to Oklahoma, where she was originally from. Then she went out to California, got married, and then she got cancer and died. And it took everybody by surprise, and it was really shitty.
What year was that?
So she died of cancer in 2015. And then Eric Laughlin, who lived at that house, I mean, I met him a lot earlier. I met him in 1996, probably, maybe 97.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, because he's from Wichita. Yeah,
he's from Wichita. You know, he was...
I remember him, yeah.
But he lived at that house as well, and I also worked with him at Urban Outfitters, and he was one of my favorite people. He was a super sweet guy, really, 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 really funny, really caring, sweet. He's like... Situations like his is why I have so much survivor's guilt from, like, not being in a gutter or dead, because I was so much more of a wasteoid than he was. But he died from alcohol abuse. Just his body shut down, couldn't take it anymore. He drank himself to death. It was a really bad situation, but one of my favorite memories with Eric was one night him and Heather and I were, I don't know what we were doing. We were just hanging out. We wound up driving around all night. But Eric and I rhymed for like 2 hours straight, and we would try and stop rhyming with one another. Like somebody would, he would say one thing and I would rhyme. And then, you know, we would try and end it, and then he would rhyme with me. And we kept it going for like 2 fucking hours. It was hilarious, and it was so much fun. And then the first time he and I really talked, we sat on the stairs of Chandra's Kansas Street apartment building. I don't know why we were hanging out over there. Because the Fannings had already moved in, and I think she had moved out of that building at that point. Yeah. But we just sat there for like 4 hours drinking and talking, getting to know each other. And it was great. It was one of my favorite memories with Eric. It was really sad when he passed. Yeah, it was a really bad situation. Really fucking sucked.
What year was that?
That was January 2020. So I had just gotten laid off. COVID was just a thing, like beginning to be a thing. I was trying to find a job and then found out that he passed away. And I reached out to him a couple times because I'd been sober for 4 years at that point. No. Six years.
Yeah.
So, you know, I tried reaching out, you know, let's go get lunch. Let's have some sober hangs. You know, it's not the end of the world. Like, you can quit drinking and be all right. And he just couldn't fucking do it. And a lot of it was isolation and shame because he, you know, he had a really rough couple of years. And I think he thought he had done too much damage to come back from and just gave up. And the isolation is probably what did him in. Yeah. And, you know, I wish that reaching out had worked, but it didn't. That was really sad.
Yeah.
And then Charlie Downey, I don't know if you remember him or not. He lived at that house as well. And
him, I don't remember.
He was a little older than us, but he was in an old surrender too. And he died about a year after Eric, liver failure. I don't know that it was from drinking, but I know that he did drink quite a lot. And it was pretty bad. One of my favorite memories of Charlie was we went back to their house, the White Belt house, after the bar closed, had after hours, and we were drinking more beer, and we listened to the 45 that they had of Total Eclipse of the Heart like 10 times in a row. Probably we just drank and listened to that record over and over and over and over and over. It was a really fun and sad night. That's the three of them from the White Belt house.
You have a lot more on your list than I do.
Yeah. So after that, Casey Haywood. He was originally a Wichita homie. I don't know if you knew him or not. He was slightly older than us, but when I started working at the Cedars, really when I got to know him, he was friends with the owner. I'd seen him at Kelly's a lot, but we hung out quite a bit. He was a really fun guy. And he wound up moving up to Chicago and helped start a kickball league. And there was a documentary being made about their kickball league called Left Field. Halfway through the movie, Casey died. So the documentary became kind of about that. He was locked out of his apartment. And so, you know, he did what we've all done and climbed up to the second or third floor to break into a window. As you do when you're, you know, a reckless youth. And he fell and fucking died. He had a band called Handsome Molly that was a lot of fun. It was like a punk-ish, bluegrass-ish, I think.
What year was that?
The movie came out in 2009. I think he died in 2008, probably.
Okay. I remember seeing the trailer for the movie, which is eventually a movie we'll be covering on Punk Movie.
Yeah, we should. Yeah. I own it on DVD.
Do you
need a copy? I don't know how readily available it is to watch. So
I'll check the usual sources, which is Tubi and YouTube. That's usually where I find the lesser known movies.
It was hard on a lot of people here. He had a lot of people that loved him down in Wichita as well as Chicago and stuff. So that was a hard one. You know, the documentary, I mean, it's kind of cool that it captured some of his last moments. You know, really sad just the same.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if I actually, you said he died in 2008,
probably.
2008. I moved up here in 2007. I wouldn't be surprised if our paths crossed up here.
Yeah. I mean,
cause all the Kansans kind of know each other. So
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. And then, you know, hanging out with him a lot. What was it? Was it Kelly's, the bar here in town? And the Kelly's crew, there's two of them who passed away.
Jesus.
The first one that I want to talk about is Colin White. And he was an Andover punk rocker. And I met him when I was still in high school, going out to Andover. Because I met a punk rocker who lived out there at summer school. I went to summer school at East, and he was walking around with a Bad Religion patch on his book bag, and wound up meeting him. And we went to, I met him. I worked up the nerve to talk to him on the last day of summer school. I was like, hey, I like your patch. I'm into punk rock too. What's up? I don't know any other punk rockers at all. So we became friends, and like I met him, and then we went to Warped Tour together, and that's where I met Melissa and a whole bunch of Andover punk rockers, and Colin was one of them, and he was a super sweet guy. He hung out with the Kelly's crew, and he had multiple sclerosis, and he had one of the really rare forms that was super gnarly, and he was bedridden for fucking years. I went out to see him a couple times, and it was rough. He died. He passed away probably 2019, 2020, something like that. And then one of the owners of Kelly's, and later the owner of Lucky's, was Matt Walker, and he was a real shithead. I liked him a lot, but he was an asshole to a lot of people. Like, him and Sean did not like each other. He served me a drink and then served Sean a drink and spit in Sean's before he handed it to him. Just like blatantly, like right in front of Sean, just spit into it and handed it to Sean. And I don't know.
That's gonna get a lower rating.
The
health inspector comes right at that point.
Yeah, he was super cantankerous and like also like unpredictable. Like, you couldn't predict what he was gonna do. He was a bit scary to hang out with at first because you didn't know if he was gonna be happy to see you or wanna beat the shit out of you when you saw him. It took me a little while to get over that, but once I did, like, he was a super sweet guy. And he died of an overdose. I don't know if it was accidental or not, but he wound up in the hospital and didn't make it from prescription pills, which took a lot of people. And that would have been 07 or 08, I think. Maybe 09, I don't remember. Late aughts. That's the Kelly's folks. Do you remember Jackie Wood?
Yes, I do. I do remember Jackie Wood.
She passed away last year.
Was it that recently?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was just last year.
Jesus. I hadn't seen Jackie Wood in... It's been decades. Yeah. I don't think I saw her after I left Wichita again.
I wouldn't imagine you did. She came up to Lawrence some.
Oh, yeah. Did she? Yeah. I might have seen her. I mean, not that I could even remember, even if I did run into her at like the replay or something, and recognized her and we talked. It's not like I would remember it because I just drank so much.
Yeah. So. She had a rough go. When I moved back to Wichita, she got married to this guy and they had a couple kids and everything seemed to be going great for her. I don't know what happened. I'm not sure how it happened. She got arrested and this is her story. I've heard that that's not entirely true. I don't know what happened. She told me that when she was in jail for something, I don't know, the cops beat the shit out of her and gave her a traumatic brain injury. And ever since she was in jail, she just had a really tough time living. I don't know. She was really, really, really heavily abusing alcohol, I guess. And then her sister, so I don't know, 2018 probably, the police initiated a chase in downtown Wichita, which why the fuck the cops are having a high speed chase in the metropolitan area is beyond me. That shit should be fucking illegal. But they were involved in a high-speed chase, and the people they were pursuing T-boned a car with Jackie's mom, Jackie's sister, and one of Jackie's kids in it. Her mom and her daughter died. Her sister was so fucked up that she's in, like she needs constant care. She's okay-ish. Like, she's a musician. She still plays shows every now and again, but she's kind of fucked up from it still. And I think that kind of pushed Jackie over the edge of what she could take, and it just went downhill from there. I guess she was in like in-home care for a while before she finally died, but she was a brilliant artist. She did a lot of cool shit. We have a caricature she drew of Sophie when Sophie was like 2. I think Jackie was somewhere doing portraits. She did one of Sophie. You know, it's really sad. I don't
And I can't imagine what toll, like, losing a kid
and your mom
would have on
your kid and your mom at the same time.
Kid and your mom at the same time. Yeah. It's
devastating.
Yeah. Right.
It's just really, really, really sad. And then, so yeah, she passed away. I want to say it was like last year.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that recently. I remember people talking about it, you know, because I just saw the name come across like my Facebook feed or something like that, and I thought, oh fuck, I know her, but you know, I haven't seen her in forever. But yeah, it feels like it was longer ago than that, but I guess not.
Yeah, and then a couple of photographer friends of mine, both wound up committing suicide. One, I don't know how they did it. It doesn't matter. My right. friend Nick and my friend Ryan. Ryan took a lot of pictures for Spirit of the Stairs and other bands around town. And Nick was in a lot of bands around town, and I think he worked at Muller's Camera forever. Real smart guy, real sweet, dry sense of humor. Very, very, very funny.
Yeah.
Just couldn't take the world anymore. And committed suicide. And then the last one I have on my list would be Israel, who I was in a band with when he passed away. He pulled out in front of a RV or a mini home or something like that, and killed him instantly. He left behind a wife and 2 kids, and it was really hard on them. We couldn't keep our band going after that because it just felt too fucked up to keep doing it. And Torn and I wound up going to lunch with his wife once a week for, fuck, like 2 years. And it helped all of us through that grief. We were doing it for her, but it also helped us process ours. And, you know, it was a really great thing to be able to do that with her and for her and for all of us. Because it was really shitty and sad. But yeah, going to lunch with her every week for 2 years was great. I'm glad that we did that. We haven't done it in a while, but we need to get together and have lunch again. It was 2017, I believe.
Fuck, 2017 was more than 4 years ago.
Yeah, it was 7 years ago. So yeah, those are all the people that I can remember who have passed away. That have been like close enough to me to mention. You know, there have been more acquaintances and stuff that are gone, but
tons of acquaintances, for me. Or people who I just haven't talked to in so long that I'm just like, I don't know if you could say that I technically even knew that person anymore or who they had become. You know, like we were just talking about Jackie Wood. It's like, I mean, I I knew who she was in the 90s,
right?
But yeah. Didn't really like know her recently.
Yeah.
But the other two people I want to mention who I did know and was hanging out with at the time when they died, so I knew who they were when they died. The first one I want to talk about is Aaron Rodenbaugh. So Aaron, I met him through, at the time, my ex-girlfriend. Kendra was best friends with his sister.
Okay.
And he was kind of like, just kind of like hung out in around. And one time Kendra, even after we broke up, was like, hey, Aaron wants to like start hanging out with more people and being more social. Can you hang out with him? And I was like, yeah, sure. He seemed cool enough. Mm-hmm. So I started bringing him around the fucking Central House.
Yeah.
Cause that's where I hung out. And I started to get, I mean, he was into nerdy shit. Like I was, he was into Star Trek. Uh-huh. He was into, you know, he was more into like the fantasy stuff and I was more into the sci-fi right. stuff, but you know, fuck, we both got beat up in high school. Right. So yeah. At that point, what's the difference? So I started bringing him around Central House and having him hang out with like bunk rockers and shit. And he was super cool. He was the guy who I brought over to the Central House and he wore like full chainmail.
Oh yeah. 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 You told me about that.
Yeah. That was the guy that, yeah. Ray was just like, did you wear a full fucking chainmail to my house? He was like, yeah. And he was like, that's the punkest fucking thing I've ever seen. Like, I'm super impressed with him. But yeah, he started hanging out and everything seemed like it was going really cool. Like he kind of became pretty popular yeah. around the Central House. Cause he was like, he wasn't really a punk rocker, but he just was this cool guy who would just come over and just, I think everybody respected that he had no fear of being himself. Uh-huh. Like he was not a poser at all. He didn't give a fuck
nice.
About like whether people were into the shit he was into. He was going to wear fucking chainmail to a punk house.
Oh yeah.
He didn't give a shit. And which is honestly, in my opinion, the punkest thing you can do. Just, yeah, fuck it. You can either accept me or not. I don't give a shit. And he, I don't want to get into the details, but he did end up killing himself. And I always felt a little, and I know people always say this, but I had a little bit of survivor's guilt too when it came to him. Mm-hmm. Because he had apparently called the Central House and I missed the call because it was during the landline era.
Shit.
And, he had called the Central House to see if anybody was around. And I don't remember who the fuck answered. I think I was at work or something like that. And I think he was looking for a place to hang out and like no one was around, or it was one of those rare times when we're just like, yeah, everybody's kind of busy right now. You know, everybody's off at their minimum wage fucking jobs right. or, you know, over at somebody else's house doing whatever. And I think it was like a week later and I didn't get to talk to him again after that. Mm-hmm. And it was a week later that I found out he had killed himself. Fuck. And like, I was like, fuck, you know, if I had been around when he called, would that have helped? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's
hard to say.
Yeah. But it is one of those things I've always felt kind of guilty about. And I know you're not supposed to, cause yeah.
Right.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of the people I met in. So yeah, I'd met him in. Fuck. I think the first time I met him was at the Annex. Actually.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He came over with Kendra and her friend.
Okay.
And because that was his sister, mm-hmm. so he came over with them, and I think that was the first time I met mm-hmm. him. And then he had like lived with his roommate who was also named Aaron, which I'm sure was not confusing at all. And like, it was one of those places where like, he just had like a chill place. It was like we were talking about like Nathan's, uh-huh. like I could go over there. They lived off of Rainbow in KCK right by across from KU Med in that tower. And it was a place where like, you could just go and just chill and like watch a movie and just be like, okay, you know what? I just don't want to fucking get all fucked up and party tonight. I just want to like chill and watch a movie and like get my head straight and just hang out.
Yep.
And then the last person on my list is somebody I worked with. It was around that same, actually that was in 2002. And, the next person on my list was also in 2002. Mm-hmm. It was my friend Amanda. So Amanda Sharp, who I worked with at Little Caesars. Johnny was friends with her too. And I worked with her at Little Caesars. One of those things too, she wasn't really in the scene so much as she was kind of just punk adjacent. Right. She hung out with punk rockers, but she was kind of, she had more eclectic musical taste, but like, it was one of those things where I was like, hey, I'm going to like burn some fucking CDs for you and, you know, see if you like this shit. She had gotten out of an abusive relationship. I'm going to try to be careful how I word things because there was a court case around it and everything. So I want to make sure I don't misidentify something. So as far as this is, as far as my memory is, her ex-boyfriend had been abusive. At least that is what she told me. I am inclined to believe that. And she had had, she'd gotten a new boyfriend and he was super fucking cool. Actually, like he came to Little Caesars a couple of times and, I think I was going to make like a mix CD for him too. Cause I was like, oh man, I need to get you in a punk, get you both in a punk, fucking hang out and shit. But yeah. And then, you know, I didn't know that she, I didn't actually know her and Johnny were friends at the time. Funny. That probably would have helped. Yeah. But yeah, she had had this abusive ex-boyfriend. He is currently in prison, and he, this is, legally, this is, I can legally say this. He murdered her, because he was found guilty at a trial. He murdered her because he was jealous that she'd had a new boyfriend.
What a piece of shit.
So he lured her, I think back to his house, I don't know how exactly, like, I think he told her he wanted to apologize or give her some shit back or something. Who the fuck knows? This is the part of the story I don't actually have details about. But he strangled her to death. And then put her body in the trunk of his car and drove back to school with it. Cause they were seniors in high school still.
Jesus Christ. What a piece of shit.
Yeah. And, I don't know. I think he had told one of their mutual friends, and who thought he was joking. So he showed her, he showed him the body. Fuck. And so the, that friend went and called the cops, which is
as you do,
you know, to our audience members, one of the only times it's okay to call the cops, is when shit like that happens. And of course they arrested him. They found her body in the trunk of his car. It's kind of an open and shut case. He was found guilty. I don't know if he even tried to say he was innocent. I don't think he even did. I don't think he even cared. And as far as I know, he is still in prison to this day. This would have been in 2002. So
yeah, I remember
22 years ago.
I remember when it happened. I remembered how rightly upset you were.
Yes.
Yeah, that was that was a rough one. I remember you dealing with that shit.
Yeah. And I ran into Johnny at her funeral, and that was the first time we found out that we'd had that mutual friend. So, yeah, that one really fucked me up. Because some of this other stuff, a lot of times there's no one to blame.
Right.
Like, in the turn, like, you know, for Nathan.
Right.
There's no one to blame. You can't be angry at somebody because he had an aneurysm. Yeah. Other than the universe. Right. You can be angry at the universe that that happened. But there's a specific human that did something.
Horrible.
Did it on purpose. Yeah. And did it without remorse. And presumably still doesn't have remorse. So I'm probably not alone in saying this. But I personally, my personal opinion is that he should rot in prison for the rest of his life. And as somebody who is against the prison industrial complex, I don't say that lightly.
Right. Yeah.
This is somebody who I do think should be removed from society. The fact that he did it so maliciously and did it with so little remorse and even bragged about it. I think that that's all the indication that we need that he is somebody who should not be a part of society.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a chance he could do that again. If he could do it that easily one time, Don't know why it would be any more difficult any other time.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
So that's everyone on my list. You obviously had a much longer list than I did.
A lot of that was a shared list. So, there's people I'm sure I'm forgetting from my list. Cause there's
been
a lot. I mean, during COVID, I had four people that I knew die from various things, none of which were COVID.
I realize that this has been a depressing episode. Yeah. So if you are still listening, then by all the gods, you deserve some sort of
metal. Yeah.
I don't know. It's a very depressing episode.
Yeah. I don't know. And back to Jason, it was 2 weeks ago. I don't know if you remember Quincy or not.
Yeah.
Right, well, he died also.
Jesus.
And I did not know that. He died two weeks ago. And Jason told me about it, and he was really fucked up about it. And was really, really having a real hard time with it. And when I saw that Jason had died, I was really worried that he had done something. But he didn't. He had a heart attack at work. He wasn't alone. There were people around.
Yeah.
One of the last things anybody wants for a friend who has died is to be alone and not be found. There were people there. He just didn't make it. I don't know many details. I'll probably find out in a couple weeks, but he was at work and had a heart attack, so that's really sad. Again, I mean, you can't get mad at anybody for that.
Right.
Which sucks. Quincy overdosed, I guess. That's what Jason said. This shit's heavy. I do my best to remember good times with all of them, I don't know. Losing people sucks. Mm-hmm. It's hard. And it doesn't really get any easier the more often it happens. It just sucks more.
Right.
But you have, the more it happens, the more tools you have to experience the grief, I suppose, instead of letting it overcome you. Mm-hmm. Like when Stewie died, I was mad at a lot of fucking people. Because I didn't know until it was too late for me to go to the service. I was super bummed about it. But it's at this point, you just accept that shit happens and try and remember the good things about people that are gone.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I haven't had to deal with the experience of losing a close family member. I mean, my dad died, but it didn't really affect me at all. I had made my peace with not being in his life a long fucking time ago. So it was just like, oh, that happened? Okay. Somebody asked me if I wanted some of his ashes, and I was like, well, what for? No, I don't. I don't need that.
Well, we promise the next episode will be less depressing. In the next episode, we're going to talk about, can you separate the art from the artist and all the shitty things punk bands have been doing over the last few decades.
Maybe we should have a guest in between that, this and that one.
Maybe we should.
Maybe we should hear about a punk scene not in Kansas.
Well, the whole thing about this week was we were supposed to hear about the Manhattan scene. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd still like to, if we have anyone who would want to be on who could still talk about the Manhattan scene and maybe who even knew Jason, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I can talk to people the 22nd that are up there and see if anybody wants to do that.
This episode is dedicated to all the dead homies, but That one will, whenever we do the Manhattan one, that one will be specifically dedicated to Jason, who was just such a staple in the Manhattan, Kansas punk scene.
I would say Lawrence as well, but I mean, more known for being in Manhattan punk, but definitely made his mark in Lawrence as well.
Yeah. We can just say Kansas in general. There
you go. Yeah. Cause there's Wichita people that know him too, aside from me.
Yep. Probably Canorado people.
I would expect.
How big is the Canorado punk scene?
I mean, there's 5 people in Canorado, so
at least one of them is a punk. Guaranteed. Yeah.
Some connection to punk rock. Probably the guy that makes all the boomerangs.
I wonder if he's still there.
I don't think anybody's in Canorado anymore.
I mean, it's got to be easy to find. Just Google Boomerang Canorado. Yeah. I mean, how many people could there be who make fucking boomerangs in Canorado, Kansas? Yeah. But rest assured, sweet listener, there is a man in Canorado, Kansas, who has the, I think, 5th patent on boomerangs in the world, 4 of which belong to Australians. And he is the only non-Australian who owns a boomerang patent. And he lives in Canorado, Kansas. And if you're thinking that's an odd name, it's because it's on the Kansas-Colorado border. We are genius at naming shit. Yeah. Well, I guess we're not any worse than the Australians. They have a new fucking South Wales. So, I mean, if you've ever been to Wales and New South Wales, then you will not see how those two are related at all.
I mean, some of that nomenclature seems a bit superfluous. Either South Wales or New Wales, I think, would be sufficient. Did they need new and south?
Yeah.
If I ever visit there, I'm not going to call it New South Wales. I'm going to call it New and South Wales.
Yeah, so there's a British sketch comedy show called That Mitchell and Webb Look that had a sketch about the British Empire naming New South Wales. Okay. It's pretty funny. Nice. You can find all kinds of clips from that show on YouTube. So anybody who likes British comedy should look up The Mitchell and Webb Look.
Nice.
And Sir Digby Chicken Caesar. Specifically.
All right. Well, on that note, let's end this feel good episode.
So yeah, this like we said, this episode's pretty depressing. We will have less depressing episodes. We were not expecting to make an episode about death. That was not the intent.
Yeah.
We will have a Manhattan, Kansas, I should say, episode coming up at some point, hopefully. And like I said, we are going to also in the near future have an episode about separating the art from the artist with all the shitty behavior that has come to light from a lot of punk bands and just shit that we've known for decades and chosen to ignore until recently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't forget to visit our website, www.prairiepunkpress.com. Visit us on all of our socials, which we are Prairie Punk House Companion on Facebook. We are Prairie Punks with an X on what's that Instagram. One? Instagram?
Prairie.punks.
Prairie.punks on Instagram. I'm trying like hell to not sound like a boomer while I'm talking about social media, pretending like I'm knowing what the fuck I'm talking about when
Threads is also Prairie.punks. If you're on Threads. Which is...
Is that a
thing? Yeah, it's the meta alternative to Twitter.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, visit Threads. Don't visit Twitter. I think we have a Twitter account.
Yeah.
But I don't think we tweet.
No, we don't.
I think it's just Nazis. Isn't it?
Like that account, I get a notification on my phone about once a week from some right-wing lunatic posting something, and Twitter thinks that I am interested in that for some reason.
Yeah. All right. Yes, everybody, please follow us on our socials. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And please leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever the hell else you get our podcast from. And give us a rating. Hopefully a good one.
Yay.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. But thanks for listening.
Yep. I'm going to go play Star Wars Outlaws.
I am going to, as usual, walk my dog and then go to bed.
Nice. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Chance is the clue. He was 12 years old.